Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, everyone. Amen. Let's stand up to read the word of the Lord. Let's all rise. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Glory to the Lord. The word of the Lord reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabbani," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said things to her. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Shall we pray, please? Let's pray. Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word for us this morning. We praise you for your Holy Spirit who speaks clearly to us. Lord God, we yield to you and we surrender to you. We praise you and we exalt you. We glorify you. Spirit of our living God, at this moment we all yield to you. I especially yield to you, and I pray that you take absolute control of my thought. You give me clarity of speech, Holy Spirit, my friend, my teacher. I pray you teach us all. You will help us to grasp what we need to grasp today, that we might live for the Father in Jesus' mighty name. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 We thank God so much. We thank God so much for today. We thank him for Jesus Christ he gave for us. This morning I'm speaking on the subject, do you know him? Do you know him? We've just read the part of the biblical account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this passage continues from when Jesus had been buried. And Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried and entombed. They put him in a tomb, and for fear that people, his disciples, would go and take him and pretend like he's risen and all that, they sealed the tomb and they guarded it with soldiers. Matthew makes us understand, the account of Matthew points out all these things, that they did all these things to make sure that nobody can come, steal the body, and claim that Jesus had risen. And so early in the morning, we see here, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. Other writers on this subject also says that Mary Magdalene wasn't alone. At least she was among two other people. So about three women went. And Mary Magdalene, getting there, to her surprise, the tomb is opened and nobody was there. But who is Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene, by God's grace, came into an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus cast out seven demons out of her. And from that moment, she followed Jesus. You see, this points out something about Mary Magdalene, that even though she had a past of sin, that didn't deter her from following Jesus and being a witness. And like all of us, Mary, like all of us, we all have a past. No matter what your past is, no matter where you're coming from, no matter whatever happened, you too can become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you cannot talk about the subject of resurrection and not mention Mary Magdalene's name, because she was fully committed to the journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we can learn from her too. As me and you, we study and read through this passage, we can learn from her example that we can still remain committed and become loyal and committed witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Mary gets there, sees that the tomb is open, and she runs. She runs. I'm sure John is focusing on her because she was the one that went to tell them that Jesus' body had been taken away. And so she gets there, she tells Peter and John. John himself is writing this subject here. And so she tells Peter and John, and Peter and John also run to get to the tomb. And while they are going, historian says that John was in his 20s and Peter was probably in his late 40s or early 50s. So you can imagine the race was not favorable to the older. So John, the other disciple, outruns Jesus, gets to the tomb, does not enter. But Peter gets there and enters the tomb and finds and begin to check, and found that the handkerchief that was covering Peter's face, Jesus's face, was folded nicely and put to the side. And the whole cloth that was used to wrap Jesus up, also there without Jesus in the tomb. Amazing. 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 And so he also now gets there, and the writer says the other disciple, he saw and believed. Peter, John is the one writing, but he chose not to say it was him. It was actually him who got there and saw. Peter gets in there first and does analysis, and he realizes Jesus is not here. Perhaps he was even saying, where is he? It is true, they have taken him away. But the writer says that he then went in and he saw that the tomb was empty, and by him seeing, he believed that Jesus had resurrected. But what is amazing here is that the writer says, for as yet, when you look at the verse 5 to 10, I'm looking at the 5 to 10 area, and the writer says in the verse 10 that for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. John did not know that scripture says that Jesus has to rise from the dead. But by Jesus saying he's going to die and on the third day he will rise, by working with Jesus, and Jesus had been crucified, sadly, Jesus had been buried. And they now hear the news that Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. So him and Peter runs there. Peter gets in there, looking around and shouting, "Where is Jesus? He's not here." But John looks in, gets in, and sees and begins to believe that Jesus is resurrected. This is something that is amazing here. You see, he didn't need to even see. He saw with his eyes and he believed. Many, if you study on this subject, saw and did not believe. Many did not believe Jesus. They were supposed to have seen Jesus before they believed. But John didn't have to see before he believed. From getting in there and seeing that the tomb was open, he didn't need to see Jesus. He stood there and he said, he believed in his heart. He didn't even know scripture, but yet still he believed. You see, you and I have to come to this place in our relationship with God and understand that, you see, there is the facts about scripture and there is the facts in the Bible, and knowing all the facts is good, but there comes a place where knowing the facts is not enough. You need to begin to believe the truth that is being told you. And that is what is called faith. The word of God says that they that come to the Lord must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You and I must begin to believe that Jesus died and on the third day he rose again. You see, they could have decided to say his body has been stolen, or the Roman Empire are taking the body away. There were so many things they could have said that could have been true, that it was done. They didn't know what had happened, but by the mere fact that the tomb was empty was a sign to John that Jesus had resurrected. And this morning, I want to encourage you and I to begin to believe that Jesus' resurrection is very important in the life of a child of God. You see, why is Jesus' resurrection very important? If we cannot believe that Jesus died and resurrected on you and I's behalf, then really there's no point calling ourselves children of God or Christians. But when you look at the scriptures, Romans chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, declares to the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection, the first point why it is important for you and I to believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is that the resurrection means that we have assurance of our own resurrection. If Jesus died and he really resurrected, then you and I can also be resurrected. A few weeks ago, I preached on the subject Lazarus, and we saw in there that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the dead." And so if Jesus died and he resurrected, then you and I can also be resurrected from any situation of mess. You might be here and you don't have any relationship with God, or do not know about this God, or do not have any spiritual understanding of God. God says that you are dead because you do not have a relationship with him. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us understand that we can be resurrected. We can have a relationship with God. We can come into an understanding of who God is and begin to live for God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, again, the second point is that the resurrection means that we have assurance of our, The resurrection means that Jesus has a continuing ministry. When you read Hebrews 7:25, the writer says, he is also able to save to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. You and I can now understand that Jesus is now seated on the right hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. So wherever position, whatever sin you are living with, whatever relationship your relationship with God is, however it is, wherever it is not strong, however you realize that it is not healthy, wherever you are, Jesus is on the right hand side of the Father making intercession for you and I. The resurrection is important for a child of God to understand that if Jesus had not resurrected, there was no intercession for you and I. You can begin to rejoice and be glad because now you can ask for forgiveness and the Father will forgive your sins because Jesus himself is doing that in the presence of the Father. He is our high priest. He is our high priest. You see, the resurrection means that Christianity and its God are unique and completely different and unique among the world's religion. No religion in this world talks about a coming savior. But Christianity is the only one that talks about a coming savior whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die on this earth. Now he has ascended, he has resurrected, and we see as his followers get to the tomb and he's no more in the tomb, and them believing, we too can begin to believe that the path that we are on is the right path to the Father. Child of God, you need to begin to rejoice. This is what Easter is important for. That Jesus did not die. If Jesus had not risen from dead, then you and I had no point sitting here and talking about salvation. You and I has no hope. You and I has no future. You and I has no power over sin. You and I has no jubilation. There would have been doom in this world. You see, the resurrection points clearly that the Father accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Father had not accepted the sacrifice, there wouldn't have been a resurrection. Because it is the Spirit of God that resurrected Jesus. And so by Jesus dying, it tells us that, okay, the dying of Jesus on the cross indeed has made the final atonement for you and I. And the Father is pleased with him that he can resurrect him and that we can have a testimony that we are saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus because he is no more dead. He is not in a tomb somewhere anymore. And so you and I can believe and begin to accept that we need Jesus and nothing else. If somebody has been telling you you need them, that person is a liar. And so young women here, be careful when a guy comes telling you that you need me in your life. That guy is a liar. Likewise, a guy seated here, be careful if a girl tells you you need me. It's a lie. Because you know what? The word of God says that foolish is he who puts their trust in a human being, in a man. We can all begin to deceive each other here. And most of us here seated here dressed up, perfumed up, looking the best, Easter Sunday dressing. I was speaking to a brother and he said to me, you know, this is my shirt that I wear only for Easter. I was speaking to another sister and she told me, there are only 2 days I dress up. Christmas and Easter. You see, it is good for us to do all these things. Myself, I like to look good. But if we are going to look good, if we are going to dress up and begin to believe in each other, oh, because this person looks this way, I need this person, I live by this person. If for whatever reason we begin to put our trust in people and not in Jesus, we have missed the mark. We are lost. We are lost. So don't put your trust in any man, but you can begin to put your trust in Jesus. And so these disciples continue. And they leave, believing that Jesus was resurrected. But Mary was hanging around crying. Mary was hanging around crying. Verse 11 says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw 2 angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus Christ had laid. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Mary was following the disciples. Mary had been delivered of her demons, and she was showing commitment to God. Somehow, she was showing commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. She alone and other women had risen up early to go and finish the process of burial for Jesus Christ. She had gotten there. The tomb was empty. She has run to the disciples to go and tell them. They have come and they have seen and they have believed that Jesus was resurrected. But yet still, Mary did not believe that Jesus had resurrected. She was still looking for the dead body. Many of us have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet still, somewhere in our heart, there is unbelief. There is unbelief. And so we cannot commit to God. We cannot commit to living for Jesus. We cannot commit to honoring him. Because in our heart, we are still not satisfied that we have met our Savior and our Lord. Mary had been part of this journey, but yet still she wasn't satisfied that Jesus is resurrected. So she's weeping. She's caught up in other things. And we see here, even in her weeping, even in her wailing, in the verse 14, now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. What is it about Jesus that she didn't see? Mary was following Jesus. Mary had seen Jesus. Mary had experienced Jesus' favor. Yet still, she was following Jesus as a Lord, but yet still, Jesus is standing in front of Mary, and Mary is caught up with something else, grief of losing Jesus Christ. You see, many of us are following Jesus. We have accepted Jesus. We come to church. We are even in ministry, serving Jesus. Some of us are out there doing our own things, claiming that we are Christians, but yet still, we do not know Jesus. You see, this is where my sermon begins. To tell you that the Jesus that you are looking for can be found. The word of God says that seek the Lord while he may be found. So who do you think you accepted? Did you believe when you you called out when an altar call was made and you accepted the Lord Jesus. If you did believe that you have accepted the Lord Jesus, why are you in the state that you are in? Why are you in the condition that you are in? Why is it that something else is so important to you more than living for Jesus? Do you know him? Jesus was standing in front of Mary, but Mary was caught in grief. I expect says because of the tears in her eyes, because of the weeping, she did not see Jesus. Many of us do not know Jesus. Why? Because we are caught in other things. We are caught in other things. For some of us, it could be for the love of this world. We are too busy going after the dollar. Dollar, 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 dollar. Dollar. We wake up early in the morning, we don't pray. We wake up, our whole life is so busy. And US has a system of busyness. There is no rest in USA. If you are not careful, you will wake up, I need to go to work. Then by the time you are finishing work, I need to have a meeting. I have to meet somebody. Oh, I need to go home and cook. There is always something that is seriously taking your attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. For somebody, it is a relationship. Somebody is so important to you than Jesus. Meanwhile, you have accepted Jesus. You come to church all the time. We preach about Jesus all the time. Other Christians are encouraging you about Jesus all the time. But yet still, you do not know Jesus. You see, the point here is this. We need to become intentional Christians. What do I mean by becoming an intentional Christian? You see, it is not enough just to be coming to church, looking nice, and listening to me anymore. It is not enough to lie down in your bed and play the Bible app for the Bible app to read to you. And then you fall asleep in it. It is not enough to be traveling in your car and then you put a CD on to be listening to a sermon. And I love it when people begin to throw names of so-called great pastors to me. I look at them and I laugh in my mind. You are lost. Oh, I try to encourage people, begin to pray and study the word, and they start telling me, oh, I listen to this pastor on the way to work. I love listening to him. And I say, you are lost. Child of God, Christians who are seated here today, you got to begin to be intentional about seeking for Jesus. Be intentional. Begin to look. The word of God says, Jesus says, what soul shall profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And he says, seek the Lord. You see, to seek means to carefully, deliberately look for something. We are in the period where we have to carefully, seriously seek and pay attention to Jesus Christ. How do I do this? Maybe you are here and you are being convicted and you are saying, you know, I want to begin to seek for Jesus. How do you begin? It starts with you going back to your Bibles. Hearing Bible stories is not enough anymore. Hearing Bible stories is not enough anymore. Oh, you grew up in the church. I like it when people try to tell me they've been Christian for how many years. I laugh. Oh, I've known the Lord for 40 years. I've known the Lord for 30 years. Oh, I've been a Christian for 10 years. And sometimes you try to encourage them, then they quote a scripture to you. Child of God, the word of God says, steady to show yourself approved unto God. You need to begin to search for Jesus. You need to begin to read the scriptures. You need to begin to study the word of God. Take it and sit down and break it down. Then you shall begin to now begin to find the Jesus you are looking for. We have heard too many people's view of who Jesus is that we do not even know the real Jesus. And so, you have a perception of a certain Jesus of Kosibans. You have a perception of a certain Jesus of maybe your husband, because he reads the Bible and you don't read the Bible. Or your wife. Or how your grandparents raised you up. There's so many things. When you find something in scripture and the Lord is guiding you and leading you as a pastor to do in your church, then people try to come and tell you, oh, this is not how we do it in the church. This is, hello, are you God? Please, child of God, do not become Mary. Do you know him? Because it is said for one to die once, and after death is judgment. You and I, we shall be judged. You see, most of the times, we say, we will be judged. We will be judged. But you see, judgment is still going on now. If your ways do not please God, don't begin to desire his glory in your life, his blessing in your life, his peace in your life, his joy in your life. Mary was busy weeping, and so she was not having joy, even though the Lord Jesus was standing there and talking to her. Woman, who do you seek? And she was still caught in her grief. What are you seriously caught in doing that you cannot stop and pay attention to Jesus? What are you seriously caught in doing? Some of us, it is the love of our flesh. Please begin to think what is replacing Jesus in your life. And begin to put that aside. And begin to reflect and intentionally and seriously seek for God. Seek for the Lord Jesus. You need to begin to start praying, talking to him. You need to begin to start studying the word of God and begin to apply it to your life. James says, do not be knower of the word, but be a doer of the word. Are you living according to scripture? You see, when you are living according to scripture, you are walking in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, many of us are seeking for answers. You are going through trials and difficulties and hardships, and you actually even pray and say, Lord, talk to me, show me what to do. But yet still you do not hear God. Yet still you do not see God because you refuse to pay attention to him. How many of us here really value waking up and sitting down, taking our Bibles and reading and studying and praying and asking God to come into our life and to lead us? But yet still we want to hear his voice. I like it when people begin to tell the Holy Spirit to move. Move, Holy Spirit, move. And we are looking for a certain sign. We want people to start shaking. Then, yes, God is moving. But since you dressed up to come here, God has been talking to you. God is always talking to us. But if you stop and pay attention to him, you will begin to hear him clearly. You will begin to see him at work in your life, and you will begin to walk in obedience to him. You child of God that is busy doing something else instead of living for the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to really begin to set your heart. Set your heart. And so, Jesus said to her, Mary. The moment Jesus said to her, Mary, she recognized the voice. And she said, Rabboni. Other translation is, Rabbi. Teacher. Jesus wants your attention. And he's trying in many ways to get to you. He's trying. He's calling you. You sitting here is not by mistake. The journeys that you go to encounter Jesus is not by mistake. He's trying so much. But you are caught up in so much that you can't hear him reaching out to you. I want to encourage you. The Lord hasn't given up on you. The Lord hasn't given up on you and I. And so wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, you see, it took Jesus to call Mary. And Mary knew, it is only Jesus who calls me this special way. How does Jesus call you? How does God call you? How does God call you? What does God do to draw your attention? What does Jesus have to do to draw your attention? You can begin to listen and hear him, or he can draw your attention. I don't want God to draw my attention because it may not always be as sweet as I want. Because Ephesians makes us understand that those that God loves, he chastens. Do you know what that means? Those that God loves, he disciplines. I don't want God to use discipline to draw my attention. You want God to discipline you before you know God is talking to you? You are in trouble. You are in trouble. Stop and listen. Go home. Reflect on your life. Repent of your sins and begin to live for Jesus. Begin to read your Bible. Begin to obey the Bible and live for God. And then God will not have to do some supernatural something to draw your attention. Many of us are looking for a supernatural touch. It's not also that he's not doing it. He's still doing it and you still can't hear him because you are far away from him. You are far from him. And so when you keep trying and trying and trying and it's not happening, eventually you feel like, you know, let me turn to this thing and feel free. And so you lift the bottle and start drinking your alcohol again. You go to the weed guy in the corner and you say, give me some roll, man. You call that old boyfriend whom you say you have broken up with and you say, hey, let's hook up again. And then you call that old business friend whom you know is doing dodgy things and say, hey, let's get back together, man. Because you are so far, you can't hear God. And so something else must replace it. Do you know him? Do you know him? Jesus is calling. Are you hearing his voice? Are you seeking Jesus? And if you have found Jesus, are you holding on to him? Because when Mary saw the Lord Jesus eventually, oh, this woman was all out. Hey, Jesus! Jesus said, pause, hold on. And some of us, that is what we need. Throw yourself into the pool, you won't die. You see, some of us are standing at the edge. Just give your all. Mary said to herself, Rabbi, running for Jesus. Jesus says, hold on. Hold on. I need to see my father. And your father. Begin to grip on to Jesus. Begin to grip on to Jesus. You remember that woman with the issue of the blood? She said to herself, I got to hold on to that man. If even he cannot talk to me, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And so she crawled through the people and made sure she had some touch with Jesus. You see, you and I must begin to, even though life is not going as we want it, we have to jump into this relationship with Jesus. Give it a try. Say, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is your time to throw yourself in. There is a time coming you will now have God like he is now available. And then when Mary gave herself fully, teacher, you see, when you grab God, he will begin to teach you. And that is when you actually begin to have a testimony. That is when you actually begin to become a witness. Many of us, after, look at the story. Mary then now starts to hear Jesus speaking to her. And Jesus gives her a message to take to the disciples. Mary was a woman. In those times in history, women's message did not carry weight. A woman was not counted as important in society. So even that, in court, women's testimony were not important. But yet still, she recognized the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of her unbelief, when she saw and she believed, she began to receive a message for the disciples. Jesus has a message for the rest of the world. And if you allow yourself, if you give him your totality, you will carry a message. No matter what, whoever looks down on you, however you have been undermined or thrown aside, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of the house. And you can become a cornerstone to other people. In all my life, in the history of my nuclear family, my mom was a prophetess. We were all fighting. My father was seeking God. And then I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ in London. And then I totally committed to him. And the Lord came to me and he said to me, I have called you to live for me. And I have called you to teach my people to follow me. And when the Lord came to me like that and I surrendered to him and I followed him, today I am a pastor. But the testimony here is this. I began a journey of possibility for the rest of my nieces and my nephews. I have another nephew that is a pastor. I have another nephew that is aspiring to become a pastor. Do you see that I have broken a certain chain in my family? Maybe you are here and in your family there is nothing like good. There is nothing like fulfillment. There is nothing like achievement. But with you, Jesus can begin to break a chain, to begin to break goals, to begin to move things forward in your life and through your life for your family. And your generation shall become a generation that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through you, God will visit to the tenth of your generation of blessing. What I am doing here, my children will grow. Their children. Imagine to the hundreds. Oh my days. Matomba kinagudiata. Child of God, don't take your relationship with Jesus for life. Mary was nobody, but became somebody. Jesus can make you somebody, because you will become a witness worthy of carrying a message for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to ask you, do you know him? Let's pray. Set your heart.